We're going to move on to House Bill 1017, House Bill 1017, to revise certain provisions pertaining to the commitment of persons with developmental disabilities. Are there proponents of House Bill 1017?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Wanda Seiler with the Department of Human Services. During the 2000 legislative session, there was a fairly massive revision to statutes pertaining to individuals with developmental disabilities. Over the past year, we've had the opportunity to apply many of those changes and have identified some procedural problems with those changes, mainly pertaining to the area of commitment of individuals with developmental disabilities. What House Bill 1017 seeks to do is just provide clarification to some of those procedural problems. One of the things that the bill does is more clearly defines an individual's rights as they're taken through the commitment process. It also corrects the time frames of the process so they fall in logical sequential order. There is also some clarification of the commitment costs and who's responsible for those costs if the individual is indigent. The final thing that we seek to do with the bill is to change the commitment criteria. Currently, the commitment criteria states that an individual to be committed must present a danger to themselves or others and be incapable of making a treatment decision or informed consent. What this change does is seek to change the criteria to be seek to change the criteria so that the person presents an immediate danger to self or others due to their developmental disabilities. It removes the requirement of incapable of giving informed consent. At this time, I'd be willing to answer any questions that anyone might have regarding House Bill 1017.
All right, are there any questions from the committee?
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Wanda, you know, I fully appreciate the efforts that you made, and I wasn't here when we did the rewrite here, but would you walk us through, and I don't want to lengthen this, but I mean, when we go from, like, for example, Section 1, Line 7 of the bill, the board chair may issue a subpoena as opposed to the board itself. You know, that's kind of, to me, that fairly major change, procedurally anyway.
The Board of Commitment would have three members. The chairperson of the board is required to be either an attorney or a law-trained magistrate. The other two people on the board are appointed by the county commissioners. The reason for that change is simply because the attorney on the board or the chairperson of the board is the person who is actually issuing the subpoenas in this situation.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? I kind of have one myself, and I don't know if it's necessarily covered by your bill or not, but something that bothers me. I kind of understand, I think, when people who are mentally ill are committed because they're an immediate danger to themselves or others. But in the case of, because they have a place by statute where they can go immediately. Well, if there's an individual with a developmental disability who's immediately dangerous to himself or others, where does he go while all this procedure happens? And I realize this procedure is being shortened, and it should be, and I think that's great, but where's this person at while this is all going on?
Typically, that person would be taken to the developmental center at Redfield. There is a provision within the statute which allows for an immediate apprehension and hold of someone who is in imminent danger.
Okay, and then if I could ask you one more question, who decides that they are in imminent danger and that it needs to be done right now and that they need to go to Redfield and that they can go there?
if an individual was placed under a hold under that circumstance, these statutes require that the chairperson of the commitment board have an order and evaluation for that person to be completed, or for that person to be under, and either a psychiatrist or a psychologist then examines that individual to see if they meet the commitment criteria and should be continued to be held.
Okay, I don't want to push the ride a good horse to death, but it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and a person with developmental disability, somebody decides or thinks they need to immediately be taken someplace because they're a danger to themselves or others. Who can decide that at 3 o'clock in the morning? And I have a hard time thinking a psychiatrist is going to have a look at them.
The chairperson can order an apprehension, and then the county sheriff or police department can apprehend that person and transport them to the developmental center. They can only be held there 48 hours, at which time the chairman must also make sure that a psychiatrist or a psychologist evaluates that individual. We have psychologists on staff at the developmental center that would be able to complete that examination within that time frame.
All right, thank you. Are there further questions from the committee? All right, if not, then thank you. Are there opponents of House Bill 1017?
There's
another proponent. I'm sorry. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My comments will be quite brief. My name is Tom Scheinest. I'm executive director for the South Dakota, the South Dakota Association of Community-Based Services, which are the 15 adjustment training centers across the country that are a member of our association. We serve approximately 90% of all the adults with developmental disabilities receiving services in our state. That amounts to about 2,000 individuals getting community-based residential vocational-type services. I'm here today to speak in favor of House Bill 1017. The Department of Human Services, the Division of Developmental Disabilities, did allow our member agencies an opportunity to review the draft and comment and participate in addressing some of the concerns and so forth that we did have. As a result of that process, we feel very comfortable that our concerns have been answered. Although the majority of House Bill 1017 deals with the process of determination of the individual's county of residence, it's our understanding that the proposed revisions also assure that the longest time it will take, as Wanda had just indicated, would be 10 days to receive the hearing, as well as assuring that the longest period of time the individual would be in detention would be 48 hours. These were some concerns that we have. The clarity, timeliness, and the protection of the individual with developmental disabilities rights throughout the involuntary commitment process are of great concern to the community adjustment training centers in South Dakota. As you can see by reviewing Chapter 27B as well as House Bill 1017, the community adjustment training centers have and are increasingly becoming a viable and appropriate alternative to a commitment to a state institutional facility. House Bill 1017 provides assurances that individuals with developmental disabilities who might need to be involuntarily committed as a result of conditions that pose an immediate danger of physical injury to themselves or others receive all of the appropriate protections of their rights throughout the commitment process, and if commitment does take place, will be assured that they will receive the appropriate levels of supports and services from the Community Adjustment Training Center or other facilities such as the Developmental Center in which they were placed. Therefore, the South Dakota Association of Community-Based Services would urge approval of House Bill 1017.
Thank you. Are there questions from the committee? If not, then, are there further proponents?
Jared.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Senator Olson has a question. Could you?
Can somebody from the department explain to me why, where I'm on page 5, line 7, why we're deleting, this is the reporting arena, why Wanda, do we delete 27B731 and insert 27B729?
I'm sorry, can you repeat your question?
We're taking out on page 5, line 7, we're taking out 27B 731, which is the report, it describes the contents of the report that's asked for in 728. We take that out, and then we insert 27B 729, which is the supports and services needs. So does this change, I guess, what needs to be in this report? Is that covered? Maybe this is a question I shouldn't have asked.
I think it's probably a pretty good
question. I'm really not trying to split hairs. I'm just trying to figure out what reports actually are going to go back.
I need to find the reference to 27B31, which is to identify which report is being removed.
That one is the, it says contents of the report in 27B728. And the report, 728 says evaluations of the person's mental, physical, and emotional status, review of the social, educational history, and two, a statement as to whether the person meets the criteria for board-ordered commitment as specified in 737, which is the danger to self and others.
So you're striking current law 27B-731 and replacing it with 27B-729, and he wants to know why.
27B-731, I would refer you to a handout that I think I shared with you, Senator Olson, earlier. And I think it pertains to the time frames by which the process occurs. The 27B-729 is the report that the department has to provide to make a recommendation regarding placement. And that report wasn't provided before.
Got it.
Before the hearing.
Yep. Okay. Thank you. I apologize.
He was just testing you.
No.
It was a good test.
Are there further questions? If not, then do we have further proponents of House Bill 1017? Are there opponents of House Bill 1017? Seeing none, we'll close the committee discussion and action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Since I delayed this a little bit, I'll move do pass.
Moved Olson, second Ham, to do pass on House Bill 1017. The clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
All right, then. House Bill 1017 will go to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Why don't you make a motion and see what we can do here?
Aye.
Moved Ham, seconded McIntyre for consent. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
All right, then. Senator Olson, would you like to do this on the floor?
I didn't move to put it on consent. I'll try.
All right, then. Thank you. We'll see if you can handle that.